The Gospel reading appointed for Sunday, November 27, 2011, is Mark 13, verses 24 through 37. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know the summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake."
Here ends the reading.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What a joy it is for me to be here this morning. I had been asked earlier this year to preach at a Methodist church for their Earth Sunday as a prominent Howard County environmentalist. And so it's nice to come back to my own parish. As many of you know, advocating for the environment is something very important to me. Several years ago, I was appointed to the Howard County's Environmental Sustainability Board as its citizen representative as we try and envision how Howard County can become more sustainable. With the purchase last year of 9 acres, planning a sustainable farm is an endeavor that currently is very challenging to me. Likewise, in the past 35 years that I've been at Grace, I've been an active lay minister with ministries ranging from senior warden to building committee co-chair to choir member, guitarist, etc. And as active as I've been in this parish and with the environment, too often they have been entirely separate arenas, which to me is a very dismaying because I'm the kind of person who likes to collaborate and bring people together. But in fact, they have a lot that they can learn from each other. And even more so, they need each other. So this morning, I'd like to share with you some of my thoughts and observations about what the environmental community and the church have to offer each other. So what does the environmental community have to offer the church? First, the environmental community reminds us of how important God's creation is. So often in our churches and as individuals, we express our faith as between God and me. Our contemporary religious songs talk about me loving Jesus and Jesus loving me. And if I asked you, why did Jesus come? Probably you would say, to save me, to save us, to show us God's love. And that's what I thought until recently, when I heard John 3:16 with new ears. What does it say? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." In the Greek, the word for world is cosmos. And that's a familiar word for us after Carl Sagan's PBS series of the same title. But realize that if John had meant that God so loved mankind, or all people, he could have used the word ethnos, but he didn't. He used cosmos. "For God so loved the cosmos that he gave his only begotten Son." And then it goes on. "For God did not send his Son into the cosmos to condemn the cosmos, but that the cosmos through him might be saved." Did you hear what I heard? God sent his son Jesus to save not just me, not just you, but the whole world. Because God loved the world, he gave Jesus. I was stunned. For decades, I had heard the second part, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. But now I was confronted with the knowledge that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. The world, I thought. What is the world? Just trying to wiggle out of it. I started in Genesis 1, where God creates the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land, creatures in the sea, the plants, the animals. And after each is created, he says, it was good. And when God finished creating the whole world, Genesis says that he saw all that he had made, and it was very good. God loves the cosmos, the good cosmos. And in Genesis 2, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to care for it. We get the use of the earth, but also the responsibility to work with God to care for it. Then, in Genesis 9, I read the story of Noah. In it, God made his covenant to never send waters to become a flood to destroy all living creatures. And with whom did God make this covenant? Genesis 9:15 says, then I will remember the covenant which I have made between myself and you, which would have been Noah, and living things of every kind. Folks, the covenant wasn't just between God and Noah, but with God and Noah and living things of every kind. So how can we as Christians love the cosmos? This is the second way that I think environmentalists can help the Christian community. They can help us appreciate the wonder of nature. They can teach us more about how to everything is interconnected in a web of life. They can remind us that biological systems are sustainable and show us better ways to emulate them in all that we do. And they can inform us of how to care for and restore this world that God created and loves. The third thing that the Christians can learn from the environmental community is that if we keep on doing the same things that we're currently doing, what will the effect on the world be? What are the factors that are making the polar ice caps melt at an increasing rate? Why is it that our climate is changing to cause more weather extremes? And what will the world look like if we make no changes to how we live? What is it that we can do to minimize our impact? These are important questions that we will need data from the environmental community in order to help shape our responses. So there are three things where the environmental community can help the Christian community: reminding us of how important all of God's creation, God's cosmos is, helping us to love and appreciate God's creation, and helping us to understand how we are affecting the world and how we can lessen our impact on the world. So what does the church have that they can share with the environmental community? One of the biggest issues that I hear being discussed in the environmental community is how can we reach more people about what is happening? How can we get beyond just preaching to the choir? And they'll even use those terms. Not only reach new folks to educate them, but how can we get them to change their behavior? Does that sound familiar to your ears? In the church, we call that evangelism. We've done it for years. And what do we find that works? It's one person telling another person and inviting them to come to church to an event with them, perhaps working in a small group where the person can learn to be part of a loving community. Or sometimes it's bringing them into a community that can support their new behaviors and into a place that allows them to accomplish more as a group than as an individual. Another issue in the environmental community is that for so long it seemed that a person needed to be a scientist or have a scientific background to be an environmentalist. But the church knows that everyone, each of us, is important in our community. Each of us is an important part of the body of Christ, and each one of us has an important gift or ministry to share. The environmental community needs to learn from the church that they need everyone to be an environmentalist. We are all part of the cosmos, and we each have our gifts to offer to help out the environment. Some may plant gardens in their yard to grow food or to promote biodiversity. Some may bicycle to work or walk to the store. Others could help with publicity or education. Others could help run finances of a nonprofit or bring a business outlook to an environmental endeavor. The cosmos needs each one of us to do our part. A third way that the church can help the environmental community is with our understanding of social justice. Not just the animals in the Arctic are going to have difficulty surviving the melting of the polar ice caps. So are the natives of the Polynesian Islands, whose homes are going to be submerged, or even parts of New York, Miami, and even Baltimore. We can help with facing hard questions, such as, are we fighting wars because we're addicted to oil? Or is it right to feed our gas tanks with a product such as corn or soybeans that could otherwise be food for people? The church community is used to asking hard questions, to standing up for the poor and for the powerless. And when need be, the church community is capable and understands the need for repentance and starting in a new direction. But lastly, the church needs to share with the environmental community our sense of hope. I see folks in the environmental community looking at problems that confront us and begin to lose hope. I see lots of people in the world looking at mounting problems and turning to denial, as that is their only way they have to cope with such big problems. And without hope, there's no motivation for change. However, we as a faith community have hope, a confident expectation that God will always be with us, no matter what, and that God will always have the last word. With hope, we can envision a better society, and with hope, we can come together for the common good. So as we start a new Christian year, and as we reflect during the season of Advent, I ask you how you can offer your gifts and your hope, not only to this church, not just to the environment, but to God and to the cosmos. Because God so loved the cosmos that he sent his only begotten Son.